Hello.
Hi there, can I speak to a Mr. Grattan?
You can.
Hi, Mr. Grattan, it's Daniel here calling from MMA Legal. How are you today?
I'm all right, aye.
Good, good. I'll just clear you through data protection quickly. Can I have the first line of your address, please?
Me and my girl grow.
Your email address?
We on Grattan 70 20 25 at hotmail.com.
It was just a bit different, the email that you've told me. No worries.
We on Grattan 75 20 25 at hotmail.com.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much. And just your date of birth, please, Leon.
17 3 75.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. You've cleared data protection. So yeah, the I've just received your email, by the way. I was just getting in touch. We did have you booked in for the witness statement today at 2 o'clock. Are you still available?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. No problem. So are you feeling comfortable at the moment to take this witness statement? Right, brilliant. So, just to let you know that you're in full control of the call. If you need to take a break or you want to skip a question, reword anything, just let me know. Some of the questions, of course, might be a bit upsetting because they concern your time in care and its impact that it's had. So, with that being said, are you comfortable and happy to continue today? Brilliant. And do you need anyone with you?
No, I'm all right.
No problem. Or do you need a break at all during the call?
Maybe if it's longer than half an hour, a break in the middle.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all. Like I say, if you want to take a break at all during the call, just let me know. And do you understand the purpose of the statement and agree that it may be used for Scottish Redress's application and supporting evidence? Brilliant. All right, so we'll just move into the first part of the witness statement. It's just a bit of a personal background and a bit of information about your entry into care. So firstly, can you tell me where was it that you grew up and who did you live with before going into care?
In Wester Hills, Edinburgh, and it was my mum and her partner at that time, Raymond.
So in Wester Hills, Edinburgh, and you stayed with your mother. So if there's any silence during the call, it's just me typing up the notes. I want to make sure that I get everything down. So it was with your mother and who else was that? Sorry.
Raymond Jordan, my mum's partner.
Mum's partner. All right, and what was your home life like before going into care? So, yeah, so what was the relationship like with your mother and her partner?
Battles royal, smashing the house up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And were there any health problems with your mother or your mother's partner? Did they have any, say, mental health issues or education or social work difficulties? So, how did you come to enter the care, and do you know who made the decision?
It was me. I put myself in care because I couldn't handle staying with my mum anymore.
You put yourself into care, right.
Was scared for my life.
Right. And did you have any siblings at the time?
No.
No. So how old were you when you first entered care?
14, 15, I think it was.
14, 15. And how did you feel at the time when you were entering care?
Scared and apprehensive. Not so relieved at the same time, I mean, it's.
Yeah. So, is there anything important about your childhood health, any learning needs, vulnerability, or name history that should be recorded?
I was raped by my bullies. My bullies raped me.
So, sorry, this was just with your time going into care, so just prior to care. Did you have any like health issues or anything like that? We will get on to that, of course. Just want to bring it back a bit. So when you were entering into your care setting, did you have any sort of health complications or learning needs that no, right. So that's the first section, your personal background and entering to care done. Next, I'm just going to go through a quick chronology of care just to double check with yourself. We have the right care institutes and dates for yourself. So I've got down the first one being Comerston Children's Home, and we have down that you entered that approximately the 21st of January 1991 to the 19th of June 1991. That sound about right? Right, and then we have your second care setting. It's the Morden Adolescent Unit, and we have you entering there at the 19th of June 1991 and exiting there the 18th of October 1991. Does that sound about right? Yeah. Right. Brilliant. No problem. So, with your care chronology confirmed, we'll move on to the next section. So, this is the section where we'll talk about your care settings individually. So, first off, we're going to talk about the time in Comerston. So, and then after that, we'll lead on to your time in Morden. So, firstly, in Comerston, what type of setting was it?
Big house with lots of other kids, you know, damaged and just as upset and messed about as me.
Yeah. So it was damaged quite a lot. So it was would you say it was quite dirty, or was it a clean place?
It was a clean place, but
Clean place, but
yeah, it was a clean place.
You said there was a lot of damage.
Damaged, as in the kids were damaged.
Ah, yes, right. See what you mean. And do you recall how long you were there for? Of course, we do have it in your care chronology. I just want to get it from yourself how long you believe you were there for.
Just under 5, 6 months.
5, 6 months, yeah. So, just in a few sentences, Leon, could you tell me what your ordinary life was like at Comerston? Your things like your daily routine. So, we can start from the start of the day if you'd like. So, what was your morning routine? So, were you given things to brush your teeth, hygiene for a shower? Right. And what was breakfast like? Was there a choice of different breakfast foods, or was it sort of the same thing every day, or cereal every day? Yeah.
If I went, missing things on the run.
Right. So, in terms of routines, were there any strict routines where you told you need to be up at a certain time in the morning or go to bed at a certain time?
Yeah, you want to go to bed before 10. And get up before 8. You know, to get a bus and all that.
Right. What was the other food like? So your lunch times, your tea times, what were the food options like?
Lunch times I was at school, so I bought my own dinner.
Right, and were you provided with clothing when you arrived there?
No.
Weren't provided with any sort of clothes, no? And were you allowed contact with your family?
Yeah, we had our family meeting every week.
Family meeting every week. Right, so how did the staff and other children generally treat you at Comestan? One of the other children attacked you and tried to choke you out.
Yeah.
What did the staff do about this? Were there any punishments after it? Anything happened to you or the boy involved?
The boy got kicked out of the home.
What were the punishments like at Comestan?
There wasn't any punishment.
No punishments.
Taken off us. That was about
that. Right. So, would you say that there was any sort of isolation or unsafe arrangements? Were you locked in your room at all, on your own, and not allowed out? When did that happen?
Only happened if you got out of order, eh?
Only happened if what, sorry?
Got out of order. You're going crazy or whatever.
Right. So what was the room like that they locked you in? Was it just in your bedroom or was it a different room?
It was a different room. It was a meeting room.
Yeah. Okay, so did anything happen there that you would now consider neglectful, harmful, or any sort of physical, sexual, emotional abuse?
It was always emotional abuse. I remember coming to the mall there. You got to let it if you calm down there.
Right, you said emotional abuse. When did you experience emotional abuse in Comiston? You said, is it the, would you say it was the workers that was doing this to their wrists?
No,
No.
they were doing it to their own wrists, and they were getting running away, and then they were getting brought back by the police, and the worker would turn around and go, "Huh, get properly in, get up the vein."
Right, yeah. You said the worker that was saying this was called Coral.
Coral, yeah. I don't remember her second name. I don't want to remember her.
Yeah, no, that's fine. If you don't remember, don't worry.
And me and my pal, we got our ribs run up. Do you know what I mean by run up our ribs? I get
Right.
our ribs.
And how often would you say this happened?
The girls.
Yeah.
At least once, twice a week.
And did anything change to stop this from happening, or would you say that it became worse? And what immediate effects would you say that you experienced from this? So, any sort of fear, shame, sleep problems, bedwetting, running away, behavioral school changes?
Behavioral changes. I mean, I wouldn't go to school. I'd skive all day. I'd go away drinking. And the workers got me to score dope from them.
Yeah.
Cannabis from them. Jimmy Cairns and Andrew McCaig.
Sorry, could you just repeat those names for me again?
Jimmy Cairns and Andrew McCabe. Sorry.
McCabe. No, don't apologize. It's okay.
McCaig, not
McCaig. Apologies. So you said they would experience that. They knew about that happening in there, though they were with you.
they were the workers that was getting me to score them dope.
Right, and did you tell anyone about this or try to get help? You said your partner.
Pals.
Oh, your pals. Yeah.
Came round and they watched it as it was happening, so they know eh. I haven't seen any of my friends in years and years and years.
Yeah. Right, so could you tell me anything else you feel like we might have missed from Comiston?
One of the girls having a bath. We were slagging her off about Michael Jackson, and next minute he picked up a radio and chucked it in the bath with her.
Someone threw a radio in the bath with her.
Yeah, Andy McCaig, the worker, did that. I had to fish it out.
So that's going to conclude the first care setting at Comiston. So I'm going to be moving on now to modern adolescent unit. So could you tell me what type of setting this was? So what was your, it's the same sort of questions again as I asked at Comiston. So I do apologise if it feels a bit repetitive. So what was your daily life like at Morden? Work in the morning. Said 4 o'clock you'd start work, or until 4 o'clock.
Oh, 4 o'clock.
Till 4 o'clock. What was the food like?
Bought your own food. They used to take my wages off me, so I couldn't buy my own food there.
You said they used to take your wages off you.
And then they gave me the money back that I was to use for my own food. It was a nightmare.
Right.
I
So it
was
was. Oh, go on, sorry.
vegetarian, so I wasn't getting enough nutrients and all that.
Right. And in terms of clothing and hygiene, were clothes provided for you at Morden?
No, I
No.
had my own clothes, my work clothes. Now, there was a washing machine that you used and a tumble dryer that you got to use. I was too busy. I mean, I was going to work, coming home, and
Yeah. So, in terms of the other staff and children at Morden, were they generally quite nice to you, or how did they treat you? And so you said some of the kids were all right and some of them weren't. Or was it, does that go for the staff as well?
Goes for the staff as well. there's one thing about comments that I meant to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A cupboard. And in the cupboard was a dirty calendar.
A calendar.
It was a dirty calendar that was all the positions for different days of the week.
Right.
And that's what makes me think the meal happen that night and never end.
Sorry, so the Dutch calendar, you said?
Not a Dutch calendar.
Right, okay. Right,
is that
so...
calendar?
Yes, yeah. I know what you mean now. So, anything else that you need to tell me about that at all? Yeah. No, that's understandable. So, do you feel comfortable to move back on to Morden, or do you think that there's still more at Comiston you need to tell me? Yeah, no problem. So, next question from Morden. Was there anything that happened there that you could now consider as abuse?
Kicked out for smoking
dope. Yes. Right, so that would conclude your time at Morden. So moving on now to the next part is just going to be the people involved in what happened, the reporting and your institutional knowledge. So across all the placements, who were the main people responsible?
Andrew McCaig. Jimmy Kearns.
Sorry, do you mind just spelling Jimmy's second name for me?
C-A-I-R-N-S.
Right. So, Andrew McCraig, Jimmy Pearns, anyone else?
Andrew McCaig.
McCaig, yeah.
Jimmy Kearns.
Jimmy Kearns, yeah.
Andrew McCaig was the one that threw the radio in the bath with Donald McCaig.
Yep, right. And were any other children affected, or did you witness any sort of abuse that happened to anyone else in these care settings?
Going on.
I said
they were getting us to school on drugs.
Getting us to school on drugs.
And the McCaig. Yeah. Peter Booker.
Yeah. So why do you believe staff or the institution knew or should have known what was happening there?
They didn't know what was happening there. They just...
There was just the two, like you say, the Andrew and Jimmy, that would be the main people doing these sorts of things.
Each other on the bread. It's a nightmare.
I And would you say that complaints were discouraged at all, or say if you was to speak up about the things that were happening, do you believe that you would be ignored or punished for it?
I don't know if it's the handed down punishments, but I know we were ignored. Don't know why the girls were running away, smashing the rest, but. And then get my ribs done in by one of the workers was the poison.
So you said you had your ribs done in by one of the workers.
Yeah, run up your ribs, they say, and then she'd dig her knuckle into the space between your ribs. Trust me.
And did that happen at Comiston or Morden?
Comiston, not in
Comiston.
Morden.
So, would you say you ever reported the abuse to the police or an authority figure at all?
No, we tried. We tried, but nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Could you tell me about that at all? Like, who did you speak to about it and what happened afterwards, if anything?
I tried talking about it to my mother, but she just carried on as if it was my own fault.
Sorry, Leon, did you?
Stories that they tell us, like Jimmy Cairns, he told me that he was raped in the street and that his dad watched him and hit me and all that shit.
I'm just going to go back to Coniston and add that on. So, in terms of your movement between these placements and your leaving care, why did you move between the placements and were the reasons explained to you?
No, they moved me to Morden because it was too old for that place, eh? Nobody always said why they moved me. They just moved me.
Nobody told you why you were moved from Coniston, did you say?
To Morden, that.
Yeah. And did you run away or refuse to return or to ask to be moved at all?
I ran away a couple of times.
Ran away a couple of times.
Morden was pretty decent compared to Comiston, but like I said, there was smoking dope.
Yeah.
Smoking dope for them and all that.
And when and at what age did you leave care? So when you were 15 years old, just before you were 16. What were your circumstances like after leaving care? Stayed with your mother. Tried looking at other places, but you weren't accepted at these places. Did they ever tell you why you weren't accepted for the accommodation?
Too young.
Too young. Okay, so we're going to move on now to the impact section of the witness statement. So the impact is just an overall discussion about your full time in care and the impact that you believe that it's had on yourself. So the first section would be did the experience affect you at the time? So did it affect your safety, your trust in people, your confidence? Would you say it affected anything else, any other parts of your life at all? So did you have any sort of sleeping problems after leaving care? Would you say that, sorry to cut you off there, I'm just trying to reel it back a little bit. We need to just complete the section about the effects that it had directly after care. We will move on to anything else you need to say after that. So would you say it affected your education and your relationships growing up? You said you were diagnosed with schizophrenia when you were 18.
Came to psychiatric care unit when I was 89, which is like restrained every 2 minutes.
Right. How would you say that it affected your physical health? You said that it affected you with your sleeping. You obviously lost sleep after this. Would you say there was alcohol and substance abuse that came after this? His name was Ian what, sorry?
Bartels, B-U-R-T-L-E-S.
Ian Bartels. And how would you say that it's affected your relationships or your parenting, friendships, intimacy, trust and isolation, things like that?
Isolation since I moved through here, but that's a different story. My friends, they all got rid of me. I was married briefly. She was in love with me in the mail, so she says. She was a social worker.
To a social worker. Was that a recent marriage, was it?
Years and years ago now, it's not well, like
years
21,
ago.
22.
Right.
She wasn't very helpful.
Wasn't very helpful.
Constantly trying to blame it on my family, and I was like, no.
Yeah. How would you say that it's affected your education or your work, confidence, opportunities, things like your finances?
My finances have been poor for years, but I'm getting there. Education? None.
Your day-to-day stability at all, and in what way would you say it's affected your day-to-day life?
I'm scared to step it over in the door, eh? Yeah, I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. I'm scared of. Say there's any sort of triggers for yourself, any sort of places, smells, authority figures? Not really, no.
No, or any sort of institutions or situations that you'd avoid at all?
Yeah, I don't avoid them, I still get them. I'm still under the Mental Health Act, Schizophrenia Act.
Yeah.
Paranoia,
anxiety. Do apologize about the quietness. I'm just trying to type everything in and make sure I'm not missing anything. And just overall, what would you say the sort of impact this has had on your life?
Nightmares. Being awake every night because I'm too feared in case I'm going to die. It's
What do you think may have been different if this had not happened to you?
I thought I'd be a healthy working person. I've been able to keep hold down a job.
Yeah.
I'm what I am anymore anyway, on drugs and drink.
Yeah.
Stop taking substances and stop them using alcohol. But it was years and years and years of abuse. He told me if I had one of them.
Right. So that would conclude the impact section. Do you feel like there's anything else you need to tell me, you want to get off your chest at all about the impact that your time in care had on your life?
I wake up with nightmares of people raping me. I don't know if that's a definite flashback or what. It's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrific. Are you confident that you feel like we've covered everything on the impact section, Leon?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we'll move on now to the support and treatment section. So the first part will be, have you received counselling, therapy, mental health, addiction, GP, hospital or other professional support at all? Was it counselling for your mental health?
No, it was actually in hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
Counseling.
You said it was the psychiatric ward?
Yeah, psychiatric care. The people in the last hospital I was in.
Yeah.
Before that, Queen Margaret, before that, it was the Royal Edinburgh.
Right. And I know you mentioned before you've been diagnosed with schizophrenia. Have you been diagnosed with any other relevant conditions that you currently take medication for?
A mild cardiac infarction. Said diabetes, or no?
Yes, you did. Are you receiving support at the moment? Any sort of mental health support?
Yeah.
What sort of support are you receiving currently?
I get 1 hour a day. The Richmond Fellowship, they come out and visit me. They help me cook, they help me clean, they help me tidy up.
So we've finished the support and treatment section now. The next section will be your evidence and support information. So what records do you believe would support your statements? Any sort of social work records, medical records?
I don't know. I mean, you just asked me about care.
Yeah, so it's just any sort of records that you might have a recollection of that you know that would be beneficial to your witness statements. And are there records of injuries, you running away, or behavior, or school changes? There'll be any records at all of self-harm, your substance abuse. Are there any letters, photographs, reports, or inquiry evidence that can support your statement? And could you have any siblings, a former resident, a friend, or even a partner that could provide a supporting statement along with the witness statement? Right.
My dad's passed away, so and Raymond's passed away, and
Right. It can be even a professional to provide a supporting statement, so like a social worker that you see regularly, that you entrust.
I used to have a social worker, but he pulled it, Michael Ion.
Right. But you said you wouldn't be able to provide a supporting statement.
Might be able to, I don't know. I don't know who knows what about me.
Right, not a problem. I'll put that as no for now, but if you believe that will change, obviously we're going to give you a copy of this full witness statement for you to review and sign back to us. So if you feel like you've contacted anyone in this time and then that might be able to come forward with a supporting statement for yourself, then just let us know and we can take a supporting statement from them as well. It's completely up to you. Right, so in terms of any previous claims or applications to redress, have you previously made any civil claims at all? Any criminal inquiries, claims, or redress applications with anyone else?
I tried to when I was about 28, 29. Yeah, yeah. There was no evidence and that they couldn't do anything about it.
Right. So, do you receive any payment, apology, settlement, or decision?
No.
No. So, just in a few words, we're coming to the end of the witness statement now, Leon. I do apologise for the time it's took to get through. I just wanted to make sure I've got everything from yourself. Because it's going to benefit your application massively. It'll be your last chance to tell me anything that you want to tell me before it gets sent off to redress. So I just wanted to make sure I've got everything from yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So could you tell me in a few words why it is that you're applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme and what would you like to come from telling your story?
I think people should know. mean? It was all over. It wasn't just our home. It was like certain homes in Edinburgh that were getting hogged over the coal.
Yeah. And what would an acknowledgement of this mean to you?
Yeah, show them a bit of sanity left there.
Yeah, of course. Is there anything else you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened to the harm you lived with?
No, it's all right.
So, just again to make sure that we've covered everything here today, Leon, is there anything important we have not covered or wording you would want handled carefully? So when did that occur?
That occurred before my 15th birthday.
That occurred in Coniston, did it?
No. Happened outside of the street when I was coming home from school. Not school, my granddad.
So it was your granddad?
No, from my granddad.
You were on your way home from school from your granddad's, and who did this?
One of my friends popped in the corner and said, I didn't want to talk about that.
No, I completely understand, Leon. It is a really hard thing to talk about. And of course, if you don't feel comfortable talking about it, I completely understand. I'll put it on a note in there, just so Redress do understand any sort of abuse you did suffer. Right, so we're coming to the end of the call now, Leon. Just want to check in on yourself and see how you're feeling after the call. Obviously, we have support if you need. We have people that you can call if you need, if you're feeling distressed after the call.
Yeah, survivors unit and that I've got on my email.
Right, so how are you feeling after this call? Feeling better. You feel like you've got a lot off your chest.
Yeah.
And is there someone you can contact for support after this call?
Yeah.
Who is that you can contact?
Contact my stepdad.
Right.
Or I can contact my nurse, my CPM.
Yeah, right. Alright, so now the witness statement's concluded. Have the next steps been explained to you at all?
No.
So the next steps after we have conducted today's call, we're going to be writing up your witness statement. And then we'll be sending a copy to you in the post for you to sign after you've reviewed it, of course, and agree with everything that's on there for you to sign, send back to us. After that sign and came back to us, we would need to just do a little video call with yourself, with our manager here at MMA and someone from Redress Scotland. It's just a quick call just to verify your identity. That's all. It'll be no longer than, say, 10-15 seconds on a video call. All right, Leon.
Okay.
All right. So after that, obviously the time period for the application is usually about 4 to 8 weeks. So it's about a 2-month period from when we'll hear back from Redress with the conclusion of your application. But like I say, if you need anything in the meantime, you have any questions in the meantime, please just get on the phone and call us if you have any questions. Like I say, Leon, we're always here to help. All right. So are you feeling safe to end the call now?
Yes, I am.
You're feeling better. All right. Brilliant. All right, Leon. Well, thank you so much for your time. We'll write up this witness statement now and we'll get it sent out to you in the post as soon as possible. All right, Leon. Well, thank you again for your time, and you enjoy the rest of your day. All right. Thank you, Leon. See you now.